Hey, everybody, just before we begin the show this week, for the last time, I promise this is the last time I'll interrupt you. We'd very much appreciate you take a look and complete our spring survey. You can find it at update.rsbnb.com/survey. We do this survey about once a year, and we use it to guide where the show is going to go in the next 6 to 12 months. So we'd very much appreciate you filling it out. Just take a couple moments to do that. update.rsbnb.com/survey. Thanks so much. This week on RSBNB Update, it's a patch week, but certainly not a boring one. May's big surprise has been unveiled, and it's the start of the next in the Elder Gods quest line. We theorize about where this is going and what to expect. Also, a discussion on the minigame problem. This is RSBNB Update, episode 722, recorded Friday, May 3rd, 2019. Desperate times for minigames. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Just Tannis and myself in on this Friday. A bit different this week because we actually wanted to ensure that we got the month ahead. And from the looks at the month ahead, it's actually good that we made that decision, isn't it?
Yeah, it worked in our favor this time. We're not running around trying to add stuff to the show, after the fact.
Yeah, and it's better to get it out in front rather than be preempted by something like the month ahead. And I figure what we'll do this week is we'll start with the patches because that's what this week was. It was a patch week, and then we'll go into the month ahead. Then we got some other Jagex news that wasn't mentioned on the homepage, but should be interesting to all RS players, none the like. And then tech news. Tech news is always fun around here. So we're going to actually just get started with patch notes, and there was a couple of notes made in addition to the patch notes, if you can pardon that pun. First and foremost is that the clan quality of life improvements did not hit this week because everything got pushed back due to the bank holiday that was last week. So as a result, now the clan improvements will launch on May 7th. So this coming Monday, that will happen there. Also, there has been some talk about other updates online on Twitter as well in relation to the Elite Dungeons QOL update that was on the way. These were initially going to be released next week, but due to bank holiday and needing more QA time, those have been pushed back another week as well. And, if we look at some of these Elite Dungeon QOL things, there's some pretty big ones in there, including players now have the ability to unlock a bank chest upgrade for 750,000 tokens, which allows banking inside the Elite Dungeons. So you won't even need to leave the Elite Dungeon anymore to bank. So those are some things that will be coming in the month of May. Other little fun tidbits that have been teased for the month of May include the removal of pets at the Combat Academy, because that's where everyone does their portables, right?
Yeah, that will be great.
So that will clean up the map quite a bit, but nonetheless, I assume we should people actually want to hear the actual patch notes this week, and we'll do that because there are a couple interesting ones that I do want to go over. Starting off with the fact that using a quick recharge on a prayer altar built in the starting room within Dungeoneering will now trigger the prayer opportunity achievement. And, you're doing these achievements everywhere in the world, and you don't know if, for example, this one will trigger. So it's just good to know that there's parity between the surface world and Dungeoneering when it comes to activating these achievements.
Yeah, that's cool. I never even knew that would work. I kind of assumed it wouldn't, so cool.
Yeah, neither did I, because, when you look at Dungeoneering, it's basically a game within a game. And one of the interesting things they did is they basically rewrote all of the skills for RuneScape, as it was at the time, into Dungeoneering.
And so would you say it's a miniature game?
Let's not go down this debate. We just started this episode.
It's a game within a game.
for the launch date, I meant May 6th, not May 7th. I got my start of the month mixed up a bit. But anyways, continuing, I'm going to attempt to decipher this one the best I can because it's got some pretty obtuse English with it. Made the Death Touch bracelet reflect damage not based off of your weapon, and it now gives the correct XP. Or as the patch notes put it, make Death Touch bracelet reflect damage not based off of the player's weapon, giving correct XP. So, we always say that sometimes the patch notes have one meaning or another, and we need to actually get through them. And I think that's the best way of looking at this one, is that the Death Touch bracelet has been updated so that its reflect damage is not based off the player's weapon, and it will now give you the correct XP. And when you think about it being based off the player's weapon, that sounds rather overpowered, I think, or maybe underpowered. I'm not entirely sure how that works, and I don't deal in that side of the economy. Next up, the upgraded Bone Crusher will now correctly loot all bones if more than one is received at a time. Oh, you have no idea how long I've been waiting for this one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I like that one.
You know, like especially if you're fighting, you know, blue dragons or something, and they drop also the big bones as well. So
yep.
Continuing on, looking at mobile, as part of the ongoing work to reduce the size of the game client for the mobile project, they have removed about 89 interfaces that are no longer used.
It took mobile to get them to do that?
Yeah.
It seems like that would just be cleanup, you know, like maintenance.
Well, see, the thing is, when you're doing a project and you're moving the game to mobile, typically, you know, when you're first designing, you build your interfaces, and sometimes when you upgrade your interfaces, you just leave the interface code there as a skeleton that's not actually hooked into anything. But on the sense of, you know, mobile and its primary focus of slimming down the game client, what they are ultimately after is finding a way to, you know, just squeeze as much space out of the game cache as they can. And this is how you do it. You look for things that, you know, you would might just leave behind on the PC, but you definitely want to get rid of on mobile. So next up, Google login is no longer supported on the Java client. I think we need to talk about this one because I don't know anybody who uses the Java client.
Well, I thought that Google and Java parted ways.
No, this is, you could have that work regardless of whether or not Google is linked with Java. Because what happens with this, what they mean by Google login is that the way the RS account can be set up is so that when you log in, you can just use the credentials of your Google account. So say you click that Google button on the login screen, it will send a little code to one of Google's servers, and it will open up a web page in Chrome, and it will say, hey, RuneScape wants to access your account info. Can we let them access your account info? And then rather than having your password and email address, if you're a new account, or username like I have because I'm an old account associated with RuneScape, there's internally a little code that is transferred back and forth. So in theory, all you would need to do with this kind of login is be logged into your Google account and your web browser, press that button, and then you would just log into RuneScape right off the bat. And this is something that Jagex has had in their client for a long time. And, you know, I think this is just part of the way that they're updating the processes and the way it works. Because recall that at the start of the month, Google Plus shut down one of its APIs that this was probably linking to in the beginning. And Jagex just had to rewrite this and say, hey, we're rewriting this using Google's new libraries, that rather than making back support so it'll work on the Java client, let's just support NXT.
That makes more sense. They want to get away from Java anyway, eventually.
Last I heard, it was in the single digits, the percentages of people using it. Less than 10%, yeah. And, you know, I said this on the Weekly Byte as well, is that, you know, if you aren't using the NXT client, give it a try. if it's been a long time since you tried it, give it another try. There's been lots of enhancements and performance adjustments that have been given to it that, you know, it probably will work better than the Java client did. So if you're still on the Java client, I think it's high time to give NXT a try again and see if it works for you. Unless you have an absolute potato of a computer, which in that case, I'm sorry. Other fixes this week, wildcards, dungeoneering tokens, and the Shark, Ethereal, Garage, and Outfit pieces are now purchasable for free-to-play via the Trader Store. That is, of course, to deal with
that portable Vic, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, thinking about it, I guess free-to-play can indeed purchase portable Vic. All you need is a
bot. I didn't know that until now, but yes. Yep, looks like they can.
And
makes sense, because they can have bonds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just trying to think, how would a free-to-player get bonus XP?
Bonds.
Oh, right. But you can use Treasure Hunter. You can buy keys with Treasure Hunter even if you're free-to-play.
I would imagine. Do you think Jagex would walk off the revenue?
No.
I mean, come on.
No. See, and, you know, this is some side of the free-to-play game we never look at, so.
Yeah, more on that to come, right, Shane?
Their
financials.
Oh, yes, definitely. Compacted Jewelry now has a right-click teleport option when worn and is on the action bar. Good.
Yeah, that's good.
Updated the Spirit Impling drop table. I want to provide more information on this, but as of record time here, I haven't been able to figure out what exactly the changes were that were brought to this. I do know in the past that Spirit Implings were not necessarily a fun thing to get for a task, or rather a reward. So I'm not entirely sure what these include now. So we'll just have to wait and see after these drop tables update, because, you know, I'm not going to go out there hunting Spirit Implings. Those are hard enough to find as it is, and I don't know. I don't really chase after Implings anymore, do you?
Absolutely not. Once I got that, once I got that old Legacy comp rec completed, I was done with them.
Yeah, okay. Now, this next one is probably the patch note of the week. Added color indicators on skills that are increased or reduced on the skills tab. And you're probably wondering, what is this? Well, if you drink a potion, and if the potion buffs your stats or subtracts your stats, if it buffs them, it'll turn it green. And if it subtracts them, it'll turn it red. And the best way to see this is to, you know, drink like an attack potion and a Ceridomen brew at the same time, and you'll see your stats get buffed, and you'll see your stats also get diminished with this. And, you know, this is just really good UI-wise. I don't know how this would work for you colorblind-wise, red, green.
I can't tell the difference between green and blue, and red and browns can get mixed up too, but there might be enough difference.
So there would be enough difference to tell them apart.
Should be.
A good green and a red.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
It might look blue and brown to me, but I will see something.
Yeah, and I mean, the point is that at a quick glance, you're going to be able to see how your stats are doing, and you also have the buff bar at the same time, too. So, I mean, it's up to you which way you go. You can use the buff bar, or you can use the colors. Personally, I think having the colors as an option is pretty, pretty good. The Lily of the Valley has returned again for a limited time event, and you can find them scattered around the world. And I'm noting this because last week we did have the update that allowed you to use the lilies as a cosmetic override for your main hand. So for anybody who wants to be running around with flowers, there you go.
Aw, cute.
Yeah. Wilhelm has left Taverly and returned to his fabled homeland, taking his Stroopwafels with him. Now, here's one that I wish we would have had for the charity event. Crafting Incense Sticks now has a chance of providing event currencies.
Oh, yeah, that would have been... I wonder why that wasn't there.
Because I craft hundreds of incense sticks over the last few weeks. I'm just wondering how many of these things I missed out on. So, a little bit too late for that one, but
yeah,
oh well.
Probably a lot.
And finally, a perfect juju smithing potion will now reliably grant you a 5% chance of doubling your progress while smithing. So, there's our patch notes for the week, everyone. As I mentioned, very, very slim week patch note-wise, and, you know, that might be because of what's due ahead in May, I think. We made the decision this week to delay the show a day, hence why we're recording it on the Friday, to make sure that we could have the behind the scenes. And, you know, I think that this is going to be a fairly big month, so I want to play the behind the scenes audio here for everybody, and we'll just interject when needed on this, because it's a pretty big deal this month.
You know that thing when you bought someone an amazing present and you're dying to tell them but you can't? That's kind of where we're at this month. There's a storm on the horizon in Gillinor, and we're bursting to spill the beans, but for the time being, you're going to have to put up with us being all caught. Sorry. Wait, what? So there's not much content this month to talk about. No, I'm not having this.
So for those watching on audio, what you're seeing is Mod Shani running through the Jagex offices trying to figure out what exactly is happening, and they're preventing him from hearing anything about what might be the plan to head over May. He's being chewed away by numerous teams.
Yes, not that way.
Say is that May brings with it the start of big things, and
Smart
also offers
Osborne
up
talking.
The opportunity to grab some sneaky extra XP as the voice of Seren spreads across the entire game world. Let the saga commence. The Desperate Times quest is the bold next step in the epic Elder God storyline.
Epic quest in the Elder God storyline. Desperate Times. And, you know, it's real funny that this is coming out, because we were just talking about this on the monthly bit, weren't we? About what's going to be next. So
yeah, we were.
So let's just dive in a bit deeper and see what we got with this.
Players will be invited to attend Seren's council to find a way of appeasing the Elder Gods and saving all of life on Gillinor. But don't expect things to be easy. The demands are large, and the races of Gillinor are not united. And one individual has a very different proposal. Team up with Thok and Kerepak to visit the Needle, solve strange puzzles, and discover key moments in RuneScape's recent history. This new quest is the first in a brand new storyline that will change the face of Gillinor itself. But despite its epic status, Desperate Times is relatively mid-level, requiring 50 mining, 50 smithing, and 50 divination, as well as the novice quest You Are It and the Needle Skips. Don't worry if you're not familiar with the story thus far. We've done all we can to make things welcoming to newcomers. Seren is forming an army, and her song is an ideal opportunity for you to prepare for battle. Song of Seren is similar to Voice of Seren, except this time the effects are not limited to the great elf city of Brythinnus. Players will have the chance to earn 1.5 times XP all weekend. It's a fantastic skilling boost ahead of the challenges that are to come. So from May 10th to May 13th, the Song of Seren will call out across the entire game world. Each song will herald a focus on one of four sets of skills. And once called, players will have 2 hours to make the most of the extra XP from the activated skill. Then, after 2 hours, Seren's song changes and new skills come into play. Simply log on any time during the event and click on the Seren head to take part. And running alongside Song of Seren will be a treasure hunter event that offers the chance to grab specific rewards applicable to whichever set of skills is active at the time. Just jump into Treasure Hunter at any stage throughout Song of Seren, and an overlay will show you which skills are active and the items you'll have a chance of unlocking with your keys. So do remember, the song and selection of items will change every 2 hours, so check back often. And once the dust has settled on the events of Desperate Times, we will be announcing what happens next, not least the big summer update of 2019. So if you want to find out what you'll be playing over the coming months and how we got there, then this new quest is very much the place to start. And who knows, perhaps things will escalate before the announcement.
What's going on? I've been running around the office trying to find out content. Are you doing this now?
Come, Shawnee. We all know your history of leaks. So can you just shoo, please? Shoo. Okay, and we will see you next month.
Oh, wait. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
All right. So.
Oh my god.
We do have a quest this month, Desperate Times. And we also have the Song of Saren with an accompanying Treasure Hunter promo with this. And what we see with this is that the Song of Saren will take place from May 10th to May 13th throughout that entire weekend. Now, it sounds as though that this quest is teeing things up for us to move into the next chapter of the storyline. And, you know, I could not be more happy with this because it does indeed require You Are It and The Needle Skips. And those were very good quests. You'll recall how much fun we had discussing both of them on the podcast in the past. So my next question on this is that it says, to get started, simply speak to Saren in the Berthorp Castle from May 10th. There are many cool rewards available, including XP lamps and clue scrolls, with more to come as the situation progresses. And this is under the Desperate Times category, but it seems like it could be under the Song of Saren instead. So, we were talking a bit about this in pre-show. What is your theory on this?
My theory is that the quest will have something to do with the launch of the Song of Saren, which is why it will be released on a Friday.
Okay. And I'm trying to remember if they ever did an update release on a Friday before. I don't think they have.
Not that I can remember, but the weekend stuff always starts usually on Fridays.
Right. And, you know, I do have to wonder with this, the way things are being set up for the large update this summer and this kind of being a prequel to it. Do you think we're headed towards another world event type update for the summer?
I could only hope. I mean, it's been a while.
It has.
And the last one was okay, but we know it's the issue surrounding that one, right?
It felt like it was rigged.
Yeah, maybe this will be more of a throwback to like either the first or second. Either way, I'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah. And you know, I wish we had more information on this, but I think this is the perfect way to launch this update, because before today, who knew that this would be the content in question for May? And it's better than telegraphing this at the start of the year, I think, that this is what they were going to do. So I'm pleased with the fact that this is effectively a surprise for us, and I don't know what we can expect going forward from this. It's a little bit odd in the wording. Like, we didn't get the sense from the video that it would be releasing on a Friday, but the news posting makes it sound like it will be releasing on a Friday. So it's either happening that way or that's a typo. If it is a typo, I would think that May 13th is when we're going to see Desperate Times come into game. So.
See, and I don't think it would be after the Song of Saren hits the whole map, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, we should probably actually talk a bit about the Song of Saren in terms of the perks that each different kind of hour, chunk of hours, every 2 hours, that will be on offer. So it's going to be split into support. This includes agility, dungeoneering, slayer, and thieving, plus invention. No XP penalty for dying in Dungeoneering. Increased loot chance and chance of getting totems while safecracking. And all Slayer tasks will act as if you have a VIP ticket. For combat, 1% or plus 1 to all charm drops, decreased cost of instances, and 1 auto-resurrection to full health per run in Elite Dungeons. For gathering, which includes divination, farming, fishing, hunter, mining, and woodcutting, 10% chance to not deplete Uncharted Isle resources, so that'll be good for AFKing mining. Training hotspots in the Hall of Memory won't move as often, and 10% more beans to selling items in the player-owned farm. That's a nice one.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah. Artisan, which of course is the rest, cooking, construction, crafting, fire making, fletching, herb lore, rune crafting, and smithing. Reduced chance of burning food. Iron Men excluded from this one. 2.5% chance to save a secondary when making potions, Iron Man excluded again, and increased node spawns and double rewards in the rune span. So there's that. Also this month, a selection of auras are going to be on sale in Solomon's General Store. Players will save up to 50% on some of the game's most sought-after auras. The sale is now active and lasts until May 31st. So that's what the month of May looks like. So we got the quest and the Song of Saren. What if this quest is more of a trickle release similar to the way the Halloween event worked?
I guess I could see that. He did allude to there could be something before the actual release.
And the only reason I say that is because this is the only update for May. And the last time we had a month like that was October with the Halloween event, where there was a new chapter every week.
We should get the clan stuff, right?
Yes, the clan stuff is going to be this coming Monday. We do know that.
Okay, so I mean, that's something.
Okay, hang on. Let's tee this up then. So we know clan stuff is coming on Monday, and then Elite Dungeons QOL the week after that. So that effectively means we're going to have two updates on the Mondays. So this has to be a typo that the quest is not coming on the Friday, because that just wouldn't make sense to do that many updates like that.
I don't know, man. I'm not convinced. You have to have some kind of mechanism to bring in a mechanic that has been in Prif that is now going to be in the whole world.
Well, they can bring it in.
You can't just do that.
Yeah, they can bring it in and they can turn it on just like they turn on Double XP Weekend.
But there has to be some kind of reason, right? I mean, think about it, Shane. We just did a monthly bit on the lore. Like, how are you going to bring something that is specific to Priftinus and make it for the whole world? You have to tie it with something. You have to introduce it with something.
Oh, so you weren't speaking technically. You were just saying that there needs to be an update to make it happen.
Yeah, like you have to be introduced.
Like a tie-in.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes.
I don't know.
This is actually fun. We actually have a mystery.
We do have a mystery, just like we had a mystery with the needle skips.
Yeah.
So
this is cool.
So what we can do is it can go a couple of ways. First one is that everything just comes into game this Monday. The Song of Saren comes in cold and just gets turned on the weekend with little to no fanfare. That's option one. Option two, and I don't think they would do this because of the amount of time. And this is why I'm thinking this way, because there is a pipeline leading up to the release of an update in the few days before it. And 4 days, well, it might be. I mean, if they cut down on the QA time, I guess, before they put this out. Because normally what happens, the Thursday and the Friday of that week are testing the launch of the update that we're getting that coming Monday, right? So what that would mean is that the Thursday and the Wednesday of the week would need to be testing the update we get Friday, right? But if they did that, they wouldn't be able to put out a regular game update the following Monday, which we know is going to be the Elite Dungeon stuff. So I don't think there's going to be a separate update on Friday, just because it doesn't seem technically feasible. I think what we're going to see is we're going to see the regular update this coming Monday, then we're going to see the Song of Saren come in cold with that, and then get turned on the Friday. And then following that, as much as you'd like there to be a tie-in, I think we're going to get the quest following the Song of Saren weekend.
If that happens, my personal feeling is that that is a mistake. It makes absolutely no sense to bring something in cold like that. It doesn't make any sense from a story perspective.
Well, there could be like a cutscene when you log in or something. That is feasible.
I don't
know.
That
is feasible to bring that in.
Something. This just... See, this is different than having a winter weekend, right? Like, that, it's fine. But with this, you're using lore. You're using someone we're very familiar with Saren. You're using a mechanic that we're all very familiar with Priftinus. I just dropping that in the world, I think, is a mistake. With you're not using any story to tell us why.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes to technical stuff, that has to reign supreme for this, especially if they want to keep their Monday update schedule. I think, at least. So,
but we don't have anything in May, really, right? That's what we were saying originally. Like, there's not much going on, so they should be able to handle this, correct?
Maybe. Maybe. When you put it that way, it could make sense. So, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
It's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
Yeah, so. Kind of enjoy it.
Indeed. All right. So, that's a month ahead, and boy, are we glad we waited for that one. This week, we also did get some news in that 2018 was a record-breaking year for Jagex, with a new record set for revenue of £92.8 million brought in for revenue. And what this represents is a 9.3% year-over-year profit increase for the year ending December 31st, 2018. Profits also grew by 3.8%, now at £46.8 million.
How you like Treasure Hunter now?
Mod Pips, Phil Mansell, speaking to GameIndustry.biz, said that this is the fourth successful year of significant growth for the company. And they make special mention that 2018, the RuneScape franchise enjoyed its highest ever total for paid memberships. Now, we don't hear...
Oh, holy cow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's... Wow. That is awesome.
Yeah, there's nothing
I thought it was all from MTX.
No, there's nothing in here about the percentage of it. They hired more than 100 people in 2018 to focus on its Jagex Partners publishing initiatives. That we talked a bit about that. They're going to be... eyeballing certain games and helping them publish in the same way that they do. And they also increased its general investment in R&D by 69%. And on this, Mod Pips had to say, "We have strengthened our leadership team and will continue to build on the company's talent base. We are funding new game development, building out our third-party live game publishing, investing in massive publishing platform upgrades, while continuing to expand our RuneScape live games." So there we go. And
RS is going to the Epic Store.
No. No. We're not going to say. We don't want that to happen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
I'm trying to just have a quick look here and see if I can find anything about the breakdown of this. And typically the report that comes out talking about this drops in September, the public tax report for the year, and that's where we pull all of that in. But, you know, nonetheless, everybody always says, well, RuneScape's dying, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, people have been saying that since I started.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, 10 years ago. So it's still here. I would be really curious to find out where the subscribers, like, mostly were coming from. Like, are those OS subscribers or RS3? I mean, I know you can play either, but let's face it, you're playing one primarily, you know.
Yeah.
I would be curious to see who is bringing in the subscribers.
Well, let's just have a look here. So there's a website called companieshouse.co.uk, and you can enter in a company name there, and you enter in Jagex. Let's see. Filing history, if that's around. Yeah, there's nothing on there yet. This report is not available public yet. I'm not entirely sure when that will be around, but that will definitely be something worth keeping our eyeballs on. And, you know, I think that this is a reason to celebrate. I also think it's a reason where people need to effectively take the tinfoil hats off at some point in time. Because if you do a quick Google for this report, you know the first thing that comes up? A 2007 Scape subreddit thread talking about how Jagex doesn't pay their developers properly.
Okay.
That's the conversation they were having about this on there. And, you know, yeah, you can talk about microtransactions, but you can also have to take a look at this and see that the RuneScape franchise also enjoyed its highest ever total for paid memberships in 2018.
And it works together. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that's just proof that what I've thought and expressed on the show before is completely true, that Treasure Hunter, Portable Vic, Rune Pat, all of these things were more utilized than you'd ever think, because no one wants to say that they do it, but everyone does it.
Yeah, we're still waiting to see on that. And, you know, we did actually put that out as a bit of a nibble last week, so check the YouTube channel for that. And I don't know. I think this is a good thing to be talking about. There are people who will be concerned about this, but there is nothing wrong with Jagex being in a healthy position like this, and this is good for all of us, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you like to play the game, it is.
So, I personally can't think of any negatives for this that anybody could be concerned of on this. So, I mean, can you think of any negatives on this story?
I can't, but I'm not a Reddit user, so I'm sure there is something out there that could twist this to a negative somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we kind of saw this coming, and I want everybody to also keep in mind at this point in time that the company is still technically for sale. Fukong, as we said, did want to sell the company off. So there's the possibility that what we're seeing in particular with the microtransaction push is destined to just, you know, bring in more money, which makes sense. That's something you want to do if you're shopping a company around. But I think that the true numbers do speak to that. Fact is that the membership totals brought in their highest amount of money ever. So,
well, and you've been saying that for a long time. Like, that was something to look for. They were going to be, you know, focusing on that. And plus, I think if there are new players from mobile, I mean, if there are brand new people, right, they're going to be more used to and more at ease with the microtransactions than us traditional people are.
And speaking of that, Jagex is nominated for Old School RuneScape for the Google Play Awards for the best breakthrough game.
Damn. RS3 should have been there.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So much BS, man. Old School is, I mean, for real, like, it's cool and everything, but for real, like, I'm happy.
Oh, I'm
it's
happy too.
Like, RS3 should have been there too, though. It just, I mean, think about it. Look at RS, I don't know what it's going to look like on mobile, but RS3 compared to Old School on mobile?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
No contest.
Man, missed it. They missed it there.
And, you know, even like, and this is typical Jagex, I think, because if they have a piece of content, they want to talk about it and they want to get it out. But the strategic release would have been to delay Old School until the same time, if not after RS3's release. Granted, yes, it's going to be ready first. It's going to be simpler to release first. But that doesn't mean it needed to come out first.
Maybe they were just afraid of waiting too long. Maybe they were a little skittish after the later release of Chronicle, you know, hitting
that could be it.
The downfall. And so they wanted to stay, you know, somewhat relevant in the mobile scene.
And, you know, another reason why they could have done this, and, you know, another reason I'm going to say, people might think this is blasphemous for saying this, why it makes perfect sense to do this. What do people do on RS3 primarily?
Combat.
And are you going to – yes, there's going to be people who are going to go to God Wars. There's going to be people who go to Telos and whatnot on mobile. But the best way to play that is going to be at your computer, right? Whereas if you look at Old School Combat, Old School Slayer, point, click, wait. It's kind of – I'm not saying that RuneScape 3 isn't going to be played well on mobile. I'm just saying that the combat experience and the general combat experience of RS3 is probably better played on a computer with a mouse and keyboard so you can press all your action bar buttons and whatnot if you're truly wanting to optimize it. Whereas, hey, you're not losing anything by just having, you know, point-and-click combat for Old School if you're doing Slayer that way. So
yeah, and I mean, if combat is your primary, if that's what you're into, I don't see you doing that as much on mobile, but I'll probably play, if I am able to, Revolution Slayer. I'll play, well, and, you know, it's just fine for skilling. I mean, I can run that all, and I get to ignore people in the room like everyone else now by staring at my phone. Yay. That's exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. We probably just want mobile so bad that we're willing to go to this level. But, I mean,
probably
bringing it back to the story about the profits, I do have to say that when it comes down to it at the end of the day, mobile will be another driving source for this for probably 2019. I am still anticipating a release for mobile sometime this year for RS3. So we see these numbers here for the end of 2018. Look out for 2019. If maybe, things like Portable Vic are going to be a thing.
Well, maybe they're going for a 2 for 2. So since they got the Google Play thing this year, they get it next year with RS3. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's another idea. Alrighty. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And everybody should be happy about this. You know, everybody should be happy about this news. It's not bad news. It's good news. It's good news. Granted, we don't know how much is microtransactions, but the very fact they do say that RuneScape memberships are at an all-time high. That's good. That's good.
And does it really matter? I mean, for every, like, really super principled person like Shane who just won't even turn it on, there's 10 other people that's going to play a few keys here and there. You know what I mean? Like, it's not – it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, let's move on to a listener question. But first, before we do that, I'll just take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters this week. This week, I'd like to thank Brock H., Diana, Jason R., Kyle, Sojuice Devil, Tom V., and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support and everything that you do for us here at RSBNB. Your support truly means the world to us. And without you guys, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. And, you know, you guys are going to have some new Patreon exclusive content this weekend that you're going to be getting after we finish recording the show. I have two things to upload for you guys. I have an inside RSBNB update featuring a setup tour of where I record the show. So you Patreon folks will get to see that exclusively. And we also have our monthly bit that we recorded just yesterday. It's a good one where we discuss the value of RuneScape lore. So that should be a really fun thing to see, because when you think about it, we just talked about the release of this new quest line coming out. And we kind of alluded to that, and we had a good discussion about what kind of lore and what kind of storytelling we'd like to see. And without spoiling too many things, I think Desperate Times will be a good update later this month. And if you're interested in hearing what we talked about, you can do that for as little as $1 a month. All you need to do is head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb, and in there you gain access to our entire back catalog of monthly bits. And if you subscribe there, you get access, early access to our show notes, as well as a mention in our show notes each and every week, the ability to join our roundtable discussions, and most importantly, you get to vote on the topics that we discuss on the monthly bit every month. So that's a good reason to become a Patreon supporter. For $3 a month, you'll also get a special VIP rank on Discord, a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. And as I mentioned, we're already doing our monthly bit bonus show that will be released soon. Inside RSBNB Update, and we talk with our hosts and production team. And this month, we did actually have a look at where the podcast comes together. So all of that and more is available to Patreon supporters. And should we reach $50 a month, we'll be doing the RSBNB Update Roundtable on the first Saturday of each and every month, where we'll have a roundtable discussion on everything and anything RuneScape related. And Patreon supporters are encouraged to join that. Finally, for $99 a month, whenever we get there, you can join us in our Discord for monthly movie night, and we'll run through our favorite movies. Star Trek will probably be included in this, and this is going to be exclusive to Patreon supporters and special guests. All of this and more can be found at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks once again, everyone. All right. So, Whitey has a quick and simple question for us, and he wants a short answer, but I don't think we're going to be able to give a short answer on this. What's the solution to bringing back minigames, in your opinion?
The solution is stick a fork in them. They're done.
Oh, but that's not bringing them back.
It's not, but he wants a simple solution. And at some point, we gotta call a spade, right? Like, they tried to put lipstick on that pig
with the power system,
and it didn't do nothing. It just made it, which game do we boost this week?
You're right. It did make it so only one was played each and every week, and it was boosted. You know, I think we need to go back to first principles on this and redesign what a minigame effectively is and what it means for RuneScape. You look at games like World of Warcraft, and this is the long answer, by the way. You look at games like World of Warcraft or Star Trek Online or even ESO, you have public encounters that you can join in that start every so often. Destiny has these too, and what happens with those is that when you're there, you're given an option. Hey, I'd like to take part in this event, and then you just get whisked away from wherever you were, whether you're, you know, standing in the central square, or if you're off in some obscure area, you just sign up to it and you get taken away and you begin that event. I think what we need a collection of mini games starting somewhere in the range of 3 to 7 that are revamped, look modern, and I think the Thaler idea was good to begin with, but it obviously missed the boat because it resulted in everyone just boosting a specific mini game like Castle Wars or Pest Control, right?
Yeah.
So I think what's needed is that each mini game needs to have specific rewards. And there needs to be a reason to play these mini games other than the rewards themselves. Like, for example, maybe some kind of mini game progression system in game that can give you some kind of benefit, a passive benefit, so to speak. I think that might be a good way of going about this. And, you know, this is something that Jagex probably would like to do. and probably has designs sitting in the back of the office somewhere. But as we've seen, you know, you get more bang for buck with other kinds of updates. Take the Elite Dungeons, for example, or even take a quest. That when it comes to whether or not you want to consider a wholesale rework of something like Castle Wars or Pest Control or even the Fishing Trawler, it's just not worth the time.
See, I think part of the minigame problem is that the way that it is and the way that we play RuneScape now isn't the same thing as what it was when a lot of these minigames first came out. And what I mean by that is, like, people don't really gather and socialize in the same ways that they did before.
Yeah.
And they don't play games just for fun that anymore.
And that's why I think it needs to be sign up from anywhere to go in and have some kind of benefit relating to your account rather than just the rewards available from Pest Control or Castle Wars.
See, that I think that would be helpful. My my idea, and this is just an idea, it's not the short answer, but if you were to give people something to do while they are AFKing with each other rather than just Netflix, you might have something there. So say you're mining a rock and you see your buddy over there. What if you could right click challenge? What if you wrapped Chronicle into a minigame? No, but seriously, and you just challenge somebody while you're AFKing. You could be playing that, but you're not losing out your XP. You're not losing XP, and it's giving you something other to do than just watch Netflix.
Well, that's a new minigame compared to what's already in game.
Well, what's in game isn't up to what we need right now.
So you're saying you'd effectively go into a thing and play like a mini card game then?
Yes. Yep, exactly.
Okay, I guess that's one idea. If I was going to give a short answer on this one, I would say bring in the queue system and let people sign up from anywhere. And tone down the spotlight system because it just focuses in too much around one game or another. Maybe instead bring in a system where you click a random button and you get loaded into a random minigame, and that's how you get Thaler.
Is that already in the grouping system though?
No. You can't join a random minigame from anywhere in the world. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So you press random, you might get taken to the Fishing Trawler. You might get taken to Pest Control. Depends. And that's how you would get Thaler. And then if you wanted specific rewards from, say, Castle Wars, you would have to go to Castle Wars and you would get more rewards from Castle Wars by going there and doing that minigame rather than just using the Thaler system, which would put you in a random minigame. And if you use the Thaler system, it would put you in a random minigame. You'd get Thaler, but you'd get standard level rewards from all the different minigames. Whereas if you actually go to one of these minigames, you'd get more rewards from it. I don't know if that would be a simple way of kind of trying something out on this. But
I mean, maybe. I just think that there's so many minigames and most of them aren't really that fun. I think the ones that people play
I used to enjoy Trouble Brewing with the clan in RSBNB.
Okay, we're done, Shane. You're done. No, but I mean, people do. Yeah, people play Pest Control. They play Soul Wars. Those two are okay. Barbarian Assault. Those are all decent. They're kind of fun. They have a place. But I don't see people, you know, wanting to do Fishing Trawler or Trouble Brewing or the Fist of Guthics.
What about the Great Orb Project?
You're not making this any easier, are you, Shane?
Okay. The Blast Furnace.
Why would you do the Blast Furnace?
Yeah. That needs to be looked at with the mining and smithing rework. Heist. There was a period where Heist wasn't actually working on NXT.
heist is only boosted so that you can get crazy amounts of bonus experience in Hunter.
Well, there's a problem with that then.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, if you go out a step in heist, you're going to get yelled at.
Stealing creation?
Yeah, that one can still be fun.
So, Barbarian Assault? Yes?
Yes.
Blast Furnace needs a major rework. Castle Wars is good. Fishing Trawler is old, but it's still... works. Could do with a rework. Great Orb Project, I think, is good, but I don't know anybody who actually does it for what it offers. Heist? Rework. Pest Control is good. Soul Wars is good. Stealing Creation, good. And Trouble Brewing, good if you have people that you know, in my view. So. Vista Guthics.
I got yelled at that one, too.
What'd you do wrong in Fist of Guthics?
I don't even know. I thought I was supposed to hunt the person. Oh. I don't know.
Wow.
I have a bad habit of going in and playing these games and then realizing, oh, I'm not supposed to play the game. My bad. And I get yelled at.
I think there's more here. I think there's a bigger problem here than we're understanding. I think it's that the players are using it for one reason, and it's designed in a specific way otherwise.
Yes, I think you hit the nail on the head there.
You know, if we go through the list of games where that happens, we mentioned most of them here, with the exception of Soul Wars, Pest Control, and the Fishing Trawler. Every other one has a way of boosting it inside, even Castle Wars does. And when things are being played that way, what can you do? There's not much you can do.
Yeah, I don't think there's an easy solution to it.
Why would someone boost Fist of Guthics?
Fowler.
Of course. Well, I guess the solution is to get rid of the Spotlight and Thaler system and come up with something else entirely new, if that's the case of what's happening with this. I think the only solution I have is my random one and getting more rewards for actually going there, but that doesn't solve the boosting problem. So I'm not even sure if that's a way of fixing it. Is that the actual problem, though, boosting these games? Or are they more structural? Structural.
If there wasn't a reason to boost them, I don't think anyone would play them, because a lot of them just aren't really all that fun.
Yeah. I see why Whitey asked for the simple answer now, because there isn't one. And if we had a simple answer, it would be a great thing.
It would be.
All right, I take back what I said about adding a random system, because people will just still go to specific ones and boost, and that will make the problem worse.
I stand by my previous system, or my previous statement of stick a fork in it, it's done.
I just think there needs to be a colossal rethink on the way these work. I mean, if you look at what's currently on Spotlight, it's Cabbage Face Punch Bonanza. Next up, you have Heist, then Trouble Brewing, then Castle Wars. I mean, okay.
You could see, and there's nothing you could offer me that would get me to go play Cabbage Face Punch again.
Same.
There's nothing.
Same. The only ones on this list I would go play are Trouble Brewing, Castle Wars, Pest Control, and Soul Wars. And that would be with people I know. Oh, and the Fishing Trawler. and maybe Stealing Creation if I wanted some bonus XP in those skills. But that's all I would go play. I wouldn't go play Barbarian Assault because I find the interface and UI clunky. Conquest is like chess, and I mean, hey, if we want to do that, we can do that other ways easily. The Great Orb Project, I don't even know what the point of that is anymore.
Shane, what if you could right-click on a friend and challenge him to a game conquest while you were skilling?
How would you play the game of conquest and continue to skill? Or would you be
whisked away? We have so many AFK methods. You know what I'm saying? Like, while you're AFK skilling, it would just open up a smaller interface. Maybe not the giant one that it is now, but, you know, a smaller little interface that would be the game.
So basically what you're saying is, except for a core few of the mini games that exist in game right now, mini games should just be kind of like, I guess, little kind of mobile games within the game client that you can play anywhere, I guess?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
So if you were to pare this list down of mini games that you absolutely want to keep, Pest Control?
Yes.
Soul Wars?
Soul Wars, definitely.
Castle Wars?
I'll give that one to you.
Okay.
That one's mostly only boosted for trim.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Trouble Brewing? That one could be simplified down.
Yes.
Fishing Trawler? Needs to be... Changed heavily.
I don't think Fishing Trawler is fun, but I will do it to help people that's trying to get their achievement diary.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only time I ever do it.
So the point I'm seeing here is that there are very few minigames that we actually like here. And the only reason people play these is to go through the spotlight system. And because of that, I guess there should be more questions that are asked on this. So... That's hard. It's a hard problem. I actually think your idea is the best going forward. So.
All right. Cool.
All right. Let's leave it there. Because I'm fairly certain I can't come up with any other answers to that one. And it's a hard question. One of the hardest ones I've ever been asked on here.
Way to go, Whitey.
All right. If you guys want to send your own questions in, you can send them to us on Twitter at RSBNB, either in the form of a DM or a direct mention to us. You can also email them to questions@rsbnb.com. And we also do have a thread up at update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right. So moving into tech news. Facebook had their developer conference this week, and I know how much we just love talking about Facebook here on the show.
I feel like we haven't talked about them enough.
So, we heard the rumors that Facebook wanted to enhance its messaging service. Well, it was announced this week that Facebook is going to make all its messaging products interoperable, meaning that if you have WhatsApp, you'll be able to communicate with people on Messenger. And if you have Instagram, you'll also be able to communicate with people on Messenger and WhatsApp and vice versa. So there goes the idea of being able to use WhatsApp and not have any connection into the Facebook ecosystem. We knew that was gone, but now it's really gone. With this, Facebook says is that all messages will be end-to-end encrypted, which they say is part of their recent privacy-focused manifesto that we read that sounded like an April Fool's joke not too long ago. Ultimately, the inter-app messaging system will work similar to how people make phone calls today on their phones, as in you don't need to know if the person you're calling is on Verizon or T-Mobile. You just call them and they'll wind up talking to you. And they want the same thing to be the same on Facebook's messaging services. So if you have WhatsApp, you can talk to anyone on Facebook and vice versa. We don't know when this will roll out, and Mark Zuckerberg said this could take a while, which would probably mean that we'd not be seeing it until early next year. So, you know, should we give Facebook the benefit of the doubt here and say that this is actually a good thing? Because if they pull this off, they'll be the first company in order to have something interoperable like this. Though I guess you have to really ask, is it interoperable if it can't talk to, you know, standard text messages and whatnot, and it's still in the Facebook ecosystem?
It just all sounds bad. And I'm only saying that because every week we have some kind of story about how Facebook totally disregarded someone's privacy for money or what have.
Yeah, and I mean this is going to be a situation where they need to garner a lot more trust, a lot more. And I have to wonder, how do people who are on WhatsApp feel who are told that their platform is going to be very safe and secure?
They're going to move to another. They're going to use another.
They'll have to move to something like Telegram.
Yeah, I mean, they'll just find an alternative and go to that. I mean, people use WhatsApp because they don't want.
They don't want Facebook.
You know, they don't want Mark Zuckerberg looking in. You know, like they don't.
Yeah, Facebook is also bringing its Messenger app to macOS and Windows. And, you know, you can see the writing on the wall for this is that no one uses Facebook.com anymore. Everyone just uses the Messenger. So, I don't know. I mean, I am generally inclined to believe things when they happen. And, you know, I want to believe what Mark Zuckerberg says on this. But at the same time, you're looking at a company that has such a checkered history when it comes to privacy. I don't know.
And I can't even say that it's checkered. Have we ever done a positive story about Facebook privacy? Ever?
Positive story about Facebook.
If they were out there, we would do one. I can't remember one.
Yeah, that's because Facebook was and is still hooked into the Facebook ecosystem and by its nature is available for reading. So, well, I mean, I think this is a good thing for people who want to communicate with their friends, but it just further solidifies that Facebook sphere. I think I'd be having a different reaction to this if Apple was also going down this path and opening up iMessage, which is definitely something that they should do. There should be a Linux and a Windows version and an Android version of iMessage, and you should be able to communicate with iMessage people relatively easier than you can right now. And, you know, I want to take everyone back to a point when Facebook was first starting, when Google was first starting. You know Google's chat hangouts, right? And I don't even know what it's called anymore on Android these days. But back then, and Facebook did this too, their messaging platforms used to be based on an open protocol called XMPP, which meant that anybody could open up any chat client like Pigeon or Trillion. Yeah, that's going really far back, and be able to connect to these platforms using an open protocol. But over time, they moved to proprietary protocols, and everything just became more closed up. And it would be nice to get back to that and still have that end-to-end encryption. Then we would be talking. I think if anybody was to break this mold, I think it would probably be Google. But seeing how they go through what seems like a messaging app every year, I don't think that's going to happen. So I think what we're going to see is more just hardening of the spheres. You're going to have the Facebook sphere, you're going to have the Google sphere, and you're going to have the iOS iMessage sphere. And to communicate between the three of them, you're going to need to use text messaging. I think that's all there is to it. Because I sure as hell am not using Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp after this.
No, I try to avoid it as much as I possibly can. Yeah.
And hey, they can say it's end-to-end encrypted, right? But there's no way of knowing unless there is a comprehensive published white paper on it and the source code is open source, which, you know, Facebook is not going to do. So.
No, but we'll find out it's not when we do a story about how it wasn't. Or how it was easy to break, or God knows what.
Yeah, let's just hope they do the encryption right, and then it is truly end-to-end. I think that's the best we can hope for at this point in time. All right, you ready for some more unsettling news?
What'd they do this week?
So, the company that develops Rocket League, known as Psyonix, has been sold to Epic Games.
Boo.
And for anybody who hasn't played Rocket League before, it is an absolutely amazing game. It is a game that you cannot get bored of. At least I never got bored of it because it's so dynamic. There's many different maps. There's many different game types. And it's effectively bumper soccer in that you're driving this car around so fast and you're trying to hit a ball into a net at the other end of the court. And the physics and whatnot just make it so that, yeah, it takes a while to get used to. And it's kind of difficult, but that's what makes it addictive, is that you just want to try and keep getting better at it. Now, initially,
I was going to say, I think it's a lot of fun because I can't drive, nor can I kick a ball into any kind of goal area. And I still have a blast playing that game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, Epic seems to have pulled back on this a bit because the original story that was published effectively said that for now, Rocket League will continue to be on Steam, available for purchase, but once it moves to the Epic Game Store, it will no longer be available on Steam. And if you had the Steam version, it would still remain playable and supported. It has been pulled back a bit that Epic has not announced its plan to stop selling the game on Steam, and Rocket League remains available for new purchasers on Steam, and long-term plans will be announced in the future. So the idea was, and when the story initially came out, is that Rocket League would be becoming an Epic Games Store exclusive for all new purchases. That has since seems to have been retracted on this, which takes a bit of the sting out of it. But still, I mean, this is a huge acquisition, I think. And, you know, if you look at what Rocket League does, Rocket League, of course, makes all its money with its cosmetics. And who knows more about marketing cosmetics than Epic and their Chinese parent company Tencent when it comes to Fortnite, right? So,
yeah, and you know, that's not bad, but I do think this is an example of how what should be a good thing, competition, is being perverted by these exclusive deals. You can't, like, we thought the Epic Store would be a good thing to, you know, have competition with Steam, but you can't have pure competition if you're running around getting all these exclusive deals. It's not the same.
Yeah. And even though they haven't officially announced the long-term plans, the very fact that when it came out at the start, they said that, oh, once this goes on the Epic Store, you're not going to be able to purchase it on Steam, but existing purchasers will be okay. And if you look at what Epic has done with the exclusivity agreement with Borderlands 3, for example, you really do have to wonder what they're going to do with this when it moves over. And that's ought to be raising a lot of concern for people. And, you know, everybody talks about the Epic Game Store as just being Epic and Fortnite, right? But we need to say that at the core of it, Epic is funded by Chinese gaming company Tencent. And Tencent is notoriously known for making tons of money with microtransactions in their game, and they want even more money from it. And that's how they're able to make these deals with big game companies now, including Psyonix, who makes Rocket League, because they just have so much money to throw around that they can make these deals for these game companies, including the folks who make Borderlands, to just jump on board with them. And, you know, I have to also point out that whenever you're dealing with a company in China, whether it is the Chinese government itself, Foxconn, or even Tencent here, all of these companies have links back to the communist Chinese government. And that's something everybody should be thinking of when they play Fortnite, when they play Borderlands 3, and potentially going forward if they give any extra money to Rocket League. So Everybody be aware of that. It's not a typical American gaming company. It's something actually far worse. So.
Yeah, but I mean, the Chinese have been taking my money ever since I was like five buying cheap toys. They always say made in China, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They've been getting me for years, man.
That's true. But at least part of that is going to an American company who is presumably selling the toys, right?
I guess.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think this is an issue that Steam needs to counter. I think this is an issue that Blizzard needs to counter. And hell, even I think EA needs to counter this in some way or another, you know? Because it's just not acceptable to have what amounts to a predator company offering good deals and scooping up all of these different games. Well, yeah, you can say it's the free market and whatnot. It becomes predatory.
But it's not. That's the problem. Like, that was my point. Like, it's not a free market for
exactly.
the consumer.
It's become predatory.
Yes.
So, needs to be dealt with. And, you know, I'm normally one to say that we don't need to interfere in the economy and whatnot, but there are cases where protectionism is warranted, and this is definitely one of them, especially when you're dealing with communist China. So.
Well, I think you have to interfere to look for capitalism to work the way that it's supposed to. With competition, you have to regulate people because their goal is to form monopolies.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, they want to maximize their profit. So you have to be strong with the limits that we set as people on what they can do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, we had one of the most free market governments not too long ago here in Canada, and there was a bid to take over a potash company. Potash is something that's produced in the province next door in Saskatchewan, and the federal government said no because it was a big Chinese company wanting to take over something that was inherently Canadian. And that is when protectionism works. And it's kind of hard to imagine it this way for a video game company, but it is what it is. So.
Yeah, no, I feel for it. Man, in the U.S., we will sell toll roads to foreign companies. Like, no, I know, that's hilarious, right? We do it. We do that. What other place in the world would do something like that?
I don't know. But speaking of selling things, our next piece of tech news reports that in their quarterly earnings call, Apple shipped an estimated 36.4 million iPhones worldwide in Q1 of 2019, and this represents a 30% year-over-year decline. Meanwhile, Samsung only had an 8% decline, Huawei had a 50% increase, Xiaomi had a 10% decrease, Vivo had a 24% increase, and Oppo had a 6% decrease. And others, I'm not exactly sure who others would say, I guess LG, maybe Motorola in there, also suffered a 21% decrease, but none had suffered as big of a drop as Apple's 30% year-over-year decrease in smartphone sales.
I think it totally makes sense. I mean, look at the newest phone. It's not that different than the previous, and it's twice as expensive. I think people are just like, just keep the old one.
Yeah. And, you know, the way to look at this is looking at the direct comparison. And in particular, what devices can I substitute an iPhone with, right? And what Apple's market strategy has long relied on is the ability to say that there is no substitution to an iPhone because it is a high-end smartphone device and you can't necessarily get this level of craftsmanship or this level of software integration in, for example, a Samsung device or a Google device. But over recent years, Samsung has slimmed down the crapware on their phones. Google has the Pixel, which provides a nice, clean, pure Android experience. And here you have Apple, who is selling the iPhone XS, which is exactly the same as the iPhone X, and a budget-modeled iPhone XR, which, for all intents and purposes, is a very good, cheap phone. But when you look at the screen and you compare it to the XS and you compare it to what else is available, you can just buy the 2-year-old iPhone 8 or iPhone 8 Plus and get a better form factor and screen than you'd get on an iPhone XR. resolution-wise, of course. I mean, the screen technology did improve, but resolution-wise and pixel density-wise, the A series is better. And comparing directly to Samsung, Samsung a decrease of only 8%, Apple a decrease of 30%. That says something for Apple right there, I think. Apple attributes this to people keeping their phones for longer. And they're not, the sense I get is they're not concerned about it.
Well, and maybe that's because the prices keep going up and up and up and up.
Yeah, Apple doesn't, this last year was the first year Apple didn't have a budget line available for their phone with the discontinuing of the iPhone SE. And, you know, there's a good graph in the story that's linked in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com, and you can see Apple's drop in 2018 Q4 here for this in terms of unit market share, and you can see that everybody else was relatively constant or indeed went up. And, you know, also in this report, just to show that it's not all bad for Apple, they saw a record year for revenues. They also had the best iPad sales in 6 years, and they're making more money than ever on services. Services, of course, being their cloud services like iCloud and whatnot, Apple Care, you name it. My sense for this is that there just needs to be more innovation in the iPhone space, I think. Give people a reason to upgrade once again every 2 years rather than keeping a smartphone for 3 years. Because I think 3 years now is a good benchmark for a modern phone, right? If not longer.
I would hope so.
If not longer.
Yeah.
And as to where they go next and what they innovate, they really haven't innovated all that much since the iPad came out. You can say maybe the Apple Watch, but I don't know. They said Apple Watch sales are up too. That's not a bad thing, but we know for the long history, Apple's bread and butter has been the iPhones, the iPhone sales. And the fact these are down should worry everybody. But it's my summation that given the fact Apple's seen record revenues, their services business is growing, we're not going to see any changes to their strategy because they are still in a good spot market-wise, still being worth over a $1 trillion company. So here's hoping we see something different in this year's iPhone, but that's unlikely given it's an off year. So I guess that's all we got on this.
Yeah, there you have it.
All righty. Well, I'm going to move us on into other things, and I do have a Skill of the Month to report. And as we mentioned, starting off on May 1st, we had our first new Skill of the Month, our relaunch for the Fire Making Skill of the Month. We have currently, with this Skill of the Month, Parnassius in first place, gaining 2.1 million experience in fire making in the first 2 days of the month. Second is GemAndy52 with 1.3 million. And third is CompSci with 380,000 experience gained. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. And keep in mind, these are only 10-day competitions now, so a lot more can happen. We also do have a competition slated to start on May 11th, that will be Slayer. That's going to be our combat competition. You can sign up on our website. The link to do that is in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. You're competing in the Slayer one, right?
Yeah, I think I might.
Okay.
I think I might throw my hat in there.
All right. If you want to sign up, just head on over to rsbnb.com/SKOTM, short for Skill of the Month. All right. So what do we got for achievements this week? I'm going to actually start these off. And starting off with Murovic got 99 fire making on May 2nd. Then we had Zero Kosev Zero with 120 strength on May 1st. Juan S with 99 summoning also on the 1st. Yitzi with 99 constitution also on the 1st. Jamandy 52 with 120 fire making on April 30th. Sebage with 120 divination on April 29th. Jaguar 007 with 99 hunter, 99 invention, 99 dungeoneering, 99 crafting, and 99 room crafting all on April 29th.
We also have Rohoho with 120 Slayer on April 28th. We have Raikou with 99 Invention on April 27th. Prodigal Gaz with 99 Cooking on April 26th. Prodigal Gaz with 99 Dungeoneering on the 26th. Prodigal Gaz again with 99 Fishing on April 25th. Thieves with 120 Ranged on the 25th. And Elven Badass with 99 hit points.
That should be Constitution. That's,
I was like, what?
That's Legacy System.
That on the 25th. And Elven Badass again with 99 Attack on the 25th. So quite the Elven Badass there.
Indeed. Good job, everyone. Nice achievements. Always nice to see. And that's a lot for a non-double XP weekend. So that's good. All right. Final reminder on this. Since we missed the first week of April, we'll take it 1 week into May. We'd very much appreciate you to complete our spring survey, which you can find at update.rsbnb.com/survey. This is our spring survey that we run. We want to learn a little bit about our demographics, and you can tell us what you think about RSBNB Update, and we'll use the answers that you give us as a way of guiding where the podcast goes in the future. So update.rsbnb.com/survey. We'd very much appreciate your support in filling that out. All right, and also, we do have an RSBNB Informer Roundup because it is the end of the month, so just a bit of a run-through of what we had. In April, we did have Alex's article about the mini quest list entitled "Don't Tell Us What to Do." We also had Sirion's talking about the story of the missing filter when it comes to Jagex talking about live streams, news posts, and other forms of communications. David provided us with an update of how death costs and supply costs ultimately work in PVM. And I talked about the economy of updates and how you can have an update as minor as incense sticks and it affects wide swaths of the game's economy. And finally, Flash also won our last legacy skill of the month, which was Invention. Flash gained 75,023,476 Invention XP. Nicely done. And of course, all of this and more can be found at informer.rsbnb.com. And Tanis, I believe you have an article coming for us this weekend, too.
I do.
Look forward to that. All right, you have a pick of the week. So what do you got for us?
All right, so this week I am picking a book called America Before. If anyone is familiar with Graham Hancock, he's been on the Joe Rogan Experience several times, and he's been a best-selling author for a long time, and his new book is called America Before, The Key to Earth's Lost Civilization, A New Investigation into the Mysteries of the Human Past by the best-selling author of Fingerprints of the Gods and Magicians of the Gods. Those are his two prior books. Fingerprints of the Gods, he basically supposed a Ice Age civilization that was wiped out by a cataclysm. And since that time of that book, we have found Göbekli Tepe, which has been dated to 10,000 BC.
I'm sorry, what is that for the listeners?
Göbekli Tepe, it is a monolith site in Turkey. It's vastly, vastly bigger than Stonehenge, like 50 times bigger than Stonehenge, and much, much older. This happened at a time when they said humans weren't capable of doing this, but here we have it, and it's 100% humans. Like, this isn't, no aliens came down or anything.
That was
like,
going to be
people.
My next question.
Yeah, no, this is people. I mean, that's the thing. We don't need aliens to explain this stuff. I mean, people are a lot smarter than you give them credit for. So essentially, he has been proven right since then. Something he talks about with America Before is that we experienced a global cataclysm, essentially from an impact that basically melted a lot of the ice sheets that was covering North America, caused a flood. It's
right.
Where we get the flood myths from you know, around the world. But now they have found the craters under the Greenland ice sheets. And that's something that we never knew. It's miles and miles under the ice, and it's about 18 miles wide. So we got hit by something fairly big. And it gives an explanation for the extinction of the megafauna, and the whole Younger Dryas period has been a mystery, and this might explain it. So it's a really good book. I really enjoy it. And yeah, that's my pick for this week.
All right. That sounds really good. And, you know, when it comes to it, a lot of people focus on the here and now, right? But
yeah.
But when it comes to it, you can actually look and you can see that, oh, these things happened hundreds of thousands of years ago, or in some cases, events like this happened millions of years ago. And people don't seem to realize that this was actually that the world has been living this long. And people don't typically open their mind up to that. And, you know, the same thing goes for the future as well, is that, you know, in about 4 or 5 billion years, we're going to see a change to our sun that could potentially wipe out all life too. So we can look forward, we can look backwards, and everybody is so concerned with the here and now. But these kind of geologic level events happen, and we really haven't scratched the surface on everything that has happened in even the recent history, even, you know, 130,000 years ago, as the back of the book here mentions. So.
Yes, and just like you said, Shane, this is an example of why we do need to work together. This is the first time in human history where we might be able, with enough time, to avoid a cataclysm like this. Now, we can't stop everything, but if we work together, we might be able to do something about this. And when these things happen, it resets civilization as we know it.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You know, it's impossible to determine how much knowledge would be lost. So, you know, keep that in mind. There's more important things out there, bigger things out there, bigger threats out there than your neighbor. Sometimes it's in space, you know, I mean, literally.
Yeah, and, you know, there are projects to keep seed banks and whatnot in underground bunkers and whatnot, if assuming that area would not be destroyed. Another option is, of course, in space, now that we do have the International Space Station up there as a somewhat permanent habitat. And, you know, when it comes to data, you know, you could just say archive all the data somewhere, but there's just so much data in the world that it's impossible to archive at this point. But, I mean, you could get the core works, let's just say, on this. So this certainly could be very interesting. So the link will be in the show notes to this at update.rsbmb.com. As for what we've been doing on RS, this week I have returned to the player-owned farm, did a bit of breeding for some reason. I don't know why. I just felt like going back to the farm. You know, just been doing herb runs, finished the supply of spirit weed seeds that I bought. I bought 100 spirit weed seeds a couple weeks back. I've been planting them and working through them, making spirit weed incense, and I talked about that in the article. And, you know, those spirit weed incense sticks are still selling for $20,000 a piece. So if you have spirit weed herbs, get to it and make them. They are pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been up to on RS. And I've been doing this, you know, for all intents and purposes, from the ground up. The only thing I have been buying has been the ashes. Everything else, from the logs to the herbs, I've been farming myself. So I'm making a good amount of profit off this. So that's what I've been up to this week.
That's awesome. I have been in full-scale AFK mode this week because, as some of you may know, tomorrow is Star Wars Day, May the 4th. Oh. Yes, Shane, may the 4th be with you too. So I have been watching the prequels this week so that tomorrow I can celebrate by watching all of the originals. And then with any luck, I'll get to watch The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. So... it's exciting. It is exciting for me. You know, I'll be streaming some Battlefront 2, and as you can imagine, I'm writing a little something that will be along the same lines. So
you gave it away. You gave it away. Though I guess with an article coming out of May 4th, it makes sense, right?
Yes. But I did not give away who the Empire is.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that makes it interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Well, then, with that being said, that pretty much wraps up this episode of RSBNB Update. Looks like May is definitely going to be an interesting month for us here. So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode. If you want to join us in-game, you can find us at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. We're also on Twitter at RSBNB. And, of course, you can get all of the show notes and more at update.rsbnb.com. And, you know, if you want access to that new monthly bit when it drops very soon, just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB. So with that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone. Take care.
See ya.